Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, global job site Indeed today announced its official partnership with the Irish Olympic team. The partnership will see Indeed supporting Irish athletes on the journey to qualification for the 2020 Tokyo Games. Indeed will be supporting the journey of all Olympic hopefuls as they aim for qualification and a place on Team Ireland. One of those Indeed Team Ireland ambassadors is Rhys McLennan, who joins us in studio. Rhys, you're very welcome to Off the Ball.
Thanks for having me.
I'd imagine days like today and events like today, as if you needed any more of it, kind of focus the mind even more towards what possibly might come your way, I guess, next summer.
Yeah, it's always a very, very positive thing, talking about myself. It almost makes me realise, what I'm here for, why I'm training, talking about the goals that I've got. It almost reassures myself when I'm going to a training gym later on today.
You've been around the likes of Natalie Coyle and Thomas Barron and stuff today. They're people who represented Ireland in Rio 3 years ago and themselves are hoping to return, obviously, and fingers crossed for them that they will next year. Any time you get to kind of interact with athletes who've been there before, do you try and gain as much knowledge and as much kind of information and as much of the down on what's gone before for them?
Yeah, for sure. Anybody that has had more experience than I have in certain fields, I always try to pick their brains about it, because I know that they've been through it. They know what's coming. Maybe not exactly what's coming, but they've got the best knowledge on it. And talking to past Olympians, it almost reassures me going into the competition. They give me some little tips and tricks to focus in on when I go to big events like that, and every little helps when it comes to things like that.
You've kind of had a taster for it, because championships, we'll get to the European Championships in terms of your achievements there, but something like the Commonwealth Games, at which you've been a representative, they're more in the sense of what an Olympic Games would be, and that you have loads of other sports milling around. You have people who are on different schedules, perhaps staying in around each other, and you're in a completely different city. Glasgow is not necessarily a million miles away. But, you get that sense of what the preparation and what the atmosphere will be like down the road, don't you?
Yeah. Since my junior career, actually, I've been in situations like that where I have been in like an athlete's village with other athletes around me, and I think that's very good preparation. So my first event like that was the European Youth Olympic Games, and that little events like that, that's what prepare me for the likes of Olympic Games, so that I'm not going there not being in this environment for and just get overwhelmed by the whole experience. So it's good to be prepared like that going into competitions.
It's quite the way, some training in your back garden. when you think about those kind of diametric opposites, like potentially going to Tokyo in a couple of years' time, and just to think when you were starting out in the road, you had to do this and start off in your back garden.
Yeah, it wasn't an ideal situation. Hopefully, I'll not be training in my back garden again anytime soon. But it makes you grateful for the people around you. Like the people that are working in Sport Ireland, Gymnastics Ireland, the people that have stepped in and helped me get to the place I am today, because I don't think I would be there. I've got a Commonwealth Games gold medal around my neck and a European Championships also. And I don't think I would have that unless they would have stepped in that day.
What was the kernel for you? Because I know a lot of young lads from County Down, you're kind of main port to call in terms of sport would have been perhaps soccer, maybe getting football or hurling, could have been rugby as well. Gymnastics kind of seems like the one that's off in the ether. Where did the idea to pursue this come from?
Well, I think my auntie was a gymnast, so I think that's kind of what triggered the idea in my parents' brains. But I was always a kid for running about the streets, climbing up the tallest tree in the street, always doing backflips on other people's trampolines. And I think that's when my mum and dad were like, right, we need to channel this boy's energy somehow. So they brought me to the gymnastics club. As soon as I set foot through those doors, saw the big landing mats, the big foam pit, the bars that I could swing on, it was just a perfect environment for me. So, when I did kind of get into gymnastics more and more, that's when I loved it more and more. And, I still love it to this day.
Yeah, what is it you love about it?
I love the fact that it tests every aspect of your body and your mind also, from balance, flexibility, strength, it makes you feel superhuman. It really does, because I was always one kid that always wanted to win, And when I learn new skills in gymnastics, I could take that into the playground, I could take it into the PE class, and I would always win.
I'd imagine the scenes where you're freaking out teachers and fellow students yeah. in school, where you're yeah. trying to pull some moves. Yeah, walk out,
when they were running around during the warm-up, I was running on my hands.
fair enough. That seems all pretty standard. Obviously, the training in your back garden led on to, as you mentioned, training in Rathgale Gymnastics Club. Unfortunately, through a myriad of certain circumstances, that couldn't go on forever. I believe coaches and stuff were laid off, and you kind of had to forge your own path from that point on.
Yeah, it was a very tricky situation. My main coach, Luke Carson, he was made redundant from that club. And
was there any reason why, or was it just the way things were going with how the club was funded? Or
it was seemed like unreasonable terms.
Okay.
I don't want to go into it too much. It was a very toxic situation, I felt, and I don't want that interfering with my gymnastics, so I take a step back from anything like that. Mm. And unfortunately, it did lead to Luke being made redundant, which led to me not being able to train there without a qualified coach. So that's what led to me and Luke kind of going, well, what do we do now? Mm. And then there's a couple of days where, you know, I was left without a gym to train in, and the only way of action was to take the pommel horse out of my shed that my dad made me when I was younger, and do a bit of training on that for the European Championships.
It is remarkable how resourceful people become when they decide that this is the path that they're going to pursue. I remember 3 years ago talking to Kieran Behan after he'd been involved in his routine out in Rio, and you know, he's a guy who'd worked on his dad's site to essentially go and fund what he mm-hmm. wanted to do. I know you've been lucky in terms of the funding that you've been able to acquire from Sport Ireland, especially over the course of the last year or so, but it does take, for want of a better term, and I hate for this to sound trite in here with talking to a gymnast, it takes a leap of faith to go and try and make that next step, I guess.
It does. It takes a lot of commitment. Yeah. It takes that full 100% commitment to be able to take this path, and it is a huge help having the likes of Sport Ireland and Gymnastics Ireland to help fund each athlete. And I think it has gotten so much better recently, and it's evident from the funding that I get and other gymnasts get also, and what the program gets in general. When I started gymnastics, there was no facility, national training center. Now there's one of the best facilities in the world for gymnastics that
we
have.
We've come a long way in a really, really short space of time, because I literally, anytime I'm going out to my mom's, I literally pass by Abbottstown, and to see the way that has grown over the course of the last 5 years especially has been remarkable. Mm-hmm. To have a training facility whereby anybody can be accommodated, no matter what the sports that they try and partake in. That's a huge thing to have. And it's now, I guess, on your doorstep, because you're training there pretty much full time.
Yeah, it is, and it's right on my doorstep, and also the Institute of Sport as well. I'm using that place like to the full, to the max.
How so?
I'm getting the nutritionists, the psychologists, the physios, doctors. I'm using everything possible, because I don't want anything to go to waste there, because it's just right on my doorstep. And you know, every little 1%, whether that does mean going to a psychologist once every week, that could maybe set my mind up really well for the next week, which it does. Mm. And I think that my mental well-being is very important in the sport. But you know, every little 1% that I could use in my career can just go towards the goals that I'm setting myself.
Has anybody told you you've got a freakishly mature head on your shoulders for somebody who's still only 19?
I think a lot.
Yeah,
I think a lot in my spare time. I think how I can process things, how I can improve myself. I don't let a day go by where I don't try and improve myself.
What fostered that? Was it your folks? Was it your aunt? Was it just yourself?
I would say it's a mixture of all things, like situations I've been in. You know, I'd say the traveling actually helps me a lot, because it shows how many people are in this world. There's so many. You don't actually realize until you leave your country and see other countries, and it's crazy. It's mind blowing. Actually, the brain can't fathom it. But personal improvement is something that I always work on.
Do you read a lot?
No, I actually don't.
You don't?
I want to try and start reading more, though.
Yeah. Is there any area that would interest you in that regard? Or
probably biographies.
Okay.
No, like Katie Taylor's. Does she have a book out yet?
I think it's probably behind you at some stage, somewhere, yeah. Not, I think it's knocking around the studio somewhere, but yeah, I think she's got a book out.
People, yeah, I'd like to read that.
Yeah, just to see, again, you're...
I like documentaries as well.
You're a sponge in terms of what you want to learn from what's gone before.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you spoken to the likes of Alice O'Reilly and the likes of Kieran Bean who've been off to Olympic Games? And
yeah, I have. I've spoken to many athletes. I've spoken to Paddy Barnes. Anybody that, as I said at the start, anybody that has been through experiences that I haven't, I want to learn from them and, pick their brains as much as possible. That's one of my main life goals, is just to learn as much as possible.
Well, you're now walking that tightrope where essentially you're going places where people who've gone before you haven't. You went and achieved a medal at the European Championships. I mean, you got a medal at the Commonwealth Games. I mean, these are things that Irish athletes, in terms of gymnastics, it's ground that's never been broached before.
Yeah. Pretty much every competition that I'm going to, I'm creating history for Ireland, which is very, very nice feeling. Even at World Championships, when it didn't go my way, when as a gymnast ever went into a competition with that much expectations on themselves, I don't think it's ever been happened before. So, it means a lot to me, and it almost justifies why I'm doing this sport, because I feel like I'm creating a pathway for the younger generation. I want them to beat me in any way possible. I want them to surpass my achievements, hugely. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what the grassroots are stirring up and hopefully creating for the future.
You're achieving this at a very interesting time for the island, because you're obviously a cross-border athlete. You would represent Northern Ireland at the Commonwealth Games. Have you any sense of your standing in all of that? And I don't know, in a larger sense, what you could possibly bring about and the thoughts that you could possibly put in people's heads about what's achievable when people on this island actually do work together? Because, that's been the case as regards your upbringing in the sport.
I think it's very important just for everybody, no matter what nationality you are or where you stand in any religious, politic views. I think it's just important to work together. We're all human. There's nothing that separates us from the fact that we're all human. And I don't see that there's any reason for us not to all work together in perfect harmony.
Absolutely. There's a rainbow that's just appeared over your head as well, and I think we're all going to be dancing under that shortly. I want to touch on the actual qualification for Tokyo, because we're not there yet. Still a road to go.
Right.
What's the next couple of steps for you as regards hopefully heading to Japan next year?
So I think I'm fully recovered from that shoulder surgery I had late last year, and the next competition I'm going to be doing is in China. It's middle of May, so again, traveling the world, seeing different places and new people, and that's just to kind of get that competition experience under my belt again, brush off the cobwebs. It's not an Olympic qualification, so it'll be a good kind of segue into competition mode.
You'll be surrounded by people who are likely in around.
Yeah, it'll be a good competition. It'll be very, very tough, actually. Okay. It's in China. China's one of the strongest nation in gymnastics. It's not an easy competition by any means, but it's good. It's a good segue in. But the main Olympic qualifier, just after summer in October, it's the World Championships. It's in Germany. So I'll hopefully be going there and getting my ticket to Tokyo.
What do you need to do over in there?
So I'm wanting to do the all-around competition as well as the pommel horse event, which is all six of the apparatus. You need to have a certain ranking in both events, and we're wanting to make as many options as possible. So that's why I'm doing the all-around competition as well. So maybe I can squeeze into the qualification from the all-around, but the. The main focus is the pommel horse, because that's I'm one of the best in the world on that event.
I'm not afraid to mention that either.
Yeah, it's a fact.
How is the shoulder, I meant to ask as well, because when you undergo surgery, the kind of worry is that, it might be fixed, but it might necessarily be where it was before you injured it. What was the actual problem there?
Yeah, so the problem was that I'd torn my labrum, and that can have a little bit of pain, but nothing notable. But then the real problem was a it was leaking fluid, the joint was leaking fluid from the labrum because it was torn, and then that fluid created a cyst, which then was blocking nerves, and then because the nerves were blocked, some muscles in my shoulder just wouldn't work, so I wasn't able to lift my arm like that.
Wow.
And
it's quite the challenge when you're a gymnast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When your event requires full upper body strength, your feet aren't allowed to touch the floor or the pommel horse, then that becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So we were out there at World Championships. We were even debating not competing. We were thinking, well, what's the point? You know, could I injure myself further? We got on the phone with doctors, physios, and we were like, okay, we won't injure myself further. It would be good to do the World Championships. I've got a chance of winning this. But unfortunately, at the qualification process, you know, I fell. And that was because I think I'd done three routines in the build-up to that competition, and I would normally do hundreds of routines.
Yeah.
So you can see why that kind of happened. At the end of the competition, yes, I was disappointed, but what can I do? It's an injury. A lot of athletes have to go through this, and just got home, diagnosed the injury, and got surgery on it. It's been a tough enough process from when I got the surgery, rehabilitating it. Even that month after the surgery when I just had to rest, that was tough.
Because you're twitching, I'd imagine, to just get back in the gym and just do
really,
something.
Yeah. Really tough. I hadn't had that much time off since I was about 8. And I don't know what happened to my brain. It just died almost. My brain almost died. And then, you know, I slowly built back up, got more and more active. And now I feel like I'm at the point now where I'm back where I was. I'm better than what I was before I had the surgery at all. And before their injury even happened. So me and my coach actually took this opportunity to improve my technique. So we had to start with the basics again because...
You're building from the ground up.
Yeah, you're building from the ground up. So we decided, okay, we're going to take this time and we're going to improve the basics so much that I'm doing flawless gymnastics. I'm doing perfect gymnastics. So hopefully you can notice it. That I've really improved the shape that I'm in, the circle shapes, because you have to see from the judge's point of view in gymnastics and what they're going to deduct points on. So we're trying to make a perfect routine, pretty much.
Realistically, what are you, apart from qualification, what are you looking for from the Worlds, and then what do you think you're coming home with around your neck in a year's time?
I always know that because I'm at that top level now on the pommel horse, that it's possible that I will come home with a medal, with a title around my neck. But I don't obsess over that. Mm-hmm. I don't really obsess over that. I know that I'm going to a competition, I'm going to do my job, I'm going to do the best routine I can possibly do. I can't affect what anybody else does. Like, they're going to do their job, I'm going to do my job. So if I go out there, do the best routine possible, and somebody else slips in front of me and beats me, so be it. I'm going to learn for the next time. I'm going to learn off their routine. I'm going to study it.
Because in terms of markings, like, there is a subjective element to it, like a massive subjective element to it in terms of judging. Like, that's the variable that you can't really factor for.
Yeah. So that, and at times it's actually tough to process that in your head. Yeah. You're like, this judge sitting here actually has like my Olympic gold medal in his hands. If he decides to be really mean and take deductions off where there aren't any,
yeah,
it's hard to fathom that in my brain. But then again, you need to look back and say, okay, these judges are trained, these judges are meant to be fair.
Yeah.
And all you can do is just let the sport play out.
Don't let that
be a factor. I hope to God it isn't.
Yeah. Fingers crossed it won't be. You've given enough reason for it not to be, especially over the
Yeah, I want to make it evident that everybody agrees with me that I'm capable of being on that podium.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And in the next year or so, we'll be hearing the name Reese McLennan a lot more. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in. Yes. You're that rare Irish athlete that seems absolutely full of confidence and not afraid to mention that fact.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, which is unusual, I have to say the least. So hopefully, between yourself and the help from Indeed over the course of the next year or so, you'll be performing at your very best in Tokyo. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Reese, thanks so much for coming in. And feel free to decorate the studio next time you're in.
Yes, I will. I'll bring in something next time.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.